My sisters and brothers, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Working with a young couple who were preparing for marriage, having gone through the necessary pre-Cana requirements, came and had a meeting with me in the parish office where I was assigned as parochial vicar. And in talking about the marriage itself, the bride-to-be said to me, "Father, is it necessary that during our vows that I have to say that I'm going to obey him?" And I said, "Well, there's some other options, and I get a sense that you have some feelings about this, huh?" And she said, "Well, yeah, I'm not going to say it. If he's not going to say it, then he's going to obey me." And so it was interesting. I said, "Well, we have some options here." And so we looked at the options, and at the same time, we had a chance to talk about that whole essence of obedience and obey and what it really means. You know, obedience is something that a lot of people, they pretty much like want to shy away from, to be obedient and to follow a level of obedience and to really surrender themselves in obedience. Sometimes we can leave ourselves extremely vulnerable when that happens. And yet, at the same time, to look at obedience and to see how freeing it can be, to place ourselves in the mode of being obedient. If you look at scientists and you see that those who really want to do research, any inventor, anyone who really wants to identify what are our possibilities in life, you'll look at scientists, you'll look at inventors, and you'll see that some, they have to be extremely obedient. Because in order to build a rocket ship, in order to build something that is of significance in science, you have to follow and be obedient to the laws of nature. You have to be obedient to the laws of physics. You have to be obedient to science. And after being obedient to all that, create something that indeed can be so freeing. It's interesting that it's through obedience that we're able to find a fullness, a realm of fullness in different ways. To be obedient also in life is to find ourselves obedient, hopefully, to God's will and what God has in store for us. It'll be 1 year this Wednesday that I received a call that said that I was coming to Juneau, Alaska as bishop. The papal nuncio who called me said, "The Holy Father has appointed you as the bishop of Juneau, Alaska. You will write your letter of acceptance." And I and it was interesting. The conversation was very, very brief, and yet to the point. After speaking with some of my friends who are bishops, who were named as bishops during the pontificate of Pope John Paul II, and some who have been appointed bishops during the pontificate of Pope Benedict XVI, there seems to be a little bit of a difference. During the pontificate of Pope John Paul II, the papal nuncio would then ask the man who was being appointed as bishop, "Do you accept?" and there was always the need for the reply, a need for the affirmative. It seems as though during the pontificate of Pope Benedict XVI, there is an understanding of obedience that already as priests we have vowed obedience at the day of our ordination, and we place ourselves at the service of the Church. Therein lies for priests, and I have to say particularly for me, a great freedom. There lies a great fulfillment in life. I would never have been able to chart my course of priestly ministry, nor would I have wanted to. Leaving it up to the Lord and to the will of the Church has, for me, been so fulfilling. The Blessed Mother, when she placed herself at the will of God, opened for us the way of salvation. It's interesting that she, of course, faced this with trepidation and concern. How could this possibly happen? The angel had to say, Mary, do not fear. There are certain things that by human nature, to be obedient to God's will, may not always be the most comfortable thing. It's not easy for us to surrender our will to God's will. To do so means we do have to be charitable to those who are grumpy, that we do have to be Christian in moments that we would rather be venomous. There are moments being Christian isn't easy, especially when we're called to sacrifice. Jesus Christ, our Lord, was so obedient to the Father's will, and we, as his disciples, come before him. We thank him, we glorify him, and we praise him because without him, we could never have gained the great gift of salvation won for us on Calvary. The trepidations that came in Mary's life, through the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, were filled with trust. To trust in the Lord is so much a part of what we're called to do. And we come to trust in the Lord, we have to know the Lord. I think there's three things that we can surely do in order to prepare ourselves for really surrendering our will and our lives to God. The three P's, you could say. The first P, pray. Definitely pray. Pray in a way that binds yourself so closely to God, to know God through and through, to sit in his presence and have him just shine his love and his light upon you. Place yourself before the Lord in prayer. Let prayer, and take time to pray. Let prayer be so much a part of your life. The other is perfection. Strive for perfection. Now, I have to say, for us to achieve perfection is impossible. The operative words are strive for perfection. Let us try to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, to be loving as our Heavenly Father is loving, to be forgiving as our Heavenly Father is forgiving. Let us practice that day in and day out. Let us take the moments of practicing what it is. Let us live out moments of charity. Let it not only become a practice, let it become an ingrained habit. When it becomes an ingrained habit of how we live our lives, truly being Christian and truly being disciples of Jesus Christ, it becomes not only a habit, it becomes a way of life. And when it becomes a way of life, after we've started living these elements of charity and Christian life, then it becomes the very character of who we are. Let us strive for perfection. Strive. Which means we have to work at it. The third P, parish life. Bind yourself ever so closely to this parish, to this community, because it's here that we make up the body of Christ. It is here that we find ourselves with our brothers and sisters celebrating the great Eucharistic feast. It is here in parish life that we find ourselves living out the Church. And it is the Church that is God's gift to this world, that through this church that we can bring forth Christ's presence into our world and into our lives. Ultimately, that's what Mary did. Mary brought Christ into this world. We're called to do the same by modeling her obedience to God's will. To be obedient, let us pray. Let us strive for perfection, and let us truly live within this parish what it is to be the body of Christ. Amen.